Do you invest in ETFs? Whether you're thinking, what in the world is an ETF? Or you're looking for the next opportunity to add to your portfolio. GlobalX has you covered. From big tech to bonds and bars of gold, GlobalX offers a wide range of exchange-traded funds. Go beyond ordinary with GlobalX ETFs. Visit globalxetfs.com.au. That's globalxetfs.com.au.
InvestSmart's portfolios are turning 10. And to celebrate, 10 InvestSmart boot camps are up for grabs. This self-paced online course is ideal for both seasoned investors and those who are just starting out. Valued at $99, you could win a spot on this highly rated course. To enter the competition and for terms and conditions, simply visit investsmart.com.au/win. Don't miss out on this chance to learn from experts and take your investing to the next level. Simply visit investsmart.com.au/win. Good luck.
Hey there, here's a quick note. This podcast contains general financial advice only. That means it's not specific to you, your needs, goals, or objectives, so don't act on the information until you've spoken with your financial advisor. You'll find our full disclosure, disclaimer, and link to our financial services guide in the show notes. Kath, thanks for joining me on the Australian Investors Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
We've spoken before a few times. This is our first time recording a podcast together, and I'm just humbled that you can take some time out of your busy day and come down and join me just across Melbourne CBD. Why don't we start with, for those who don't know you and haven't heard you speak before, I'm sure many are familiar with the business that you run.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about your background. If I'm not mistaken, you've got 3 degrees, you've lived in 4 countries, and I don't think you started your career at Accenture, but you may have worked there at one time, for reference.
Yeah, that's right. So I've had a terrific career, and I've been blessed to have been a true global citizen. Mm-hmm. So you're spot on. So 3 degrees, earned in Queensland and in Victoria. Decided at the age of 21 that I should move from Brisbane to Melbourne. I did start life at Accenture, although I'm that old. It used to be called Anderson Consulting at the time.
Okay.
and look, from there, that really just provided a springboard to going overseas. I have lived and worked in the UK, United States, Brazil, Singapore, and of course, my home, Australia.
Yeah.
It's been a wonderful career, mainly in risk management, financial services, consulting. In each of those roles, though, it was always about building a business, a function, a product. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was when I came across the self-wealth opportunity, it was just ticked so many boxes in terms of my past experience. And looking at the opportunities that lay ahead in terms of building out self-wealth. So I do believe that, a varied career and varied life experience sets you up really well as a business leader.
Yeah, for sure it does. We'll get to the role in just a moment. But self-wealth is a sponsor of this podcast. So many people are familiar with the brand. Many of them are users. But can you tell us kind of the origin story of self-wealth, how it started, and maybe if you bring us up to the time that you got involved, however long you want to take. It's a long time, but if you can take us from kind of like what was the initial idea through to where it is now.
Yeah, I love the genesis of self-wealth. It was one of the things that really attracted me to it. Mm. So self-wealth was started as a Facebook for investors. It was a community established so that investors, DIY investors, could jump on, share their knowledge, share their tips, at times share their frustrations. Mm. And that really, gave birth to our community feel. Which is something that we have continued on 10 years later. I think, when you look at the brief history of self-wealth, starting from that community base, became apparent a couple of years into the self-wealth journey that, investors were also looking for a reliable, low-cost, high-value platform in which to invest in ASX equities. Mm. So that came to life in 2016. Continued on the development listing in late 2017. The ASX listing was really about to raise capital to build out the marketing budget and, of course, hire more technology resources mm-hmm. to further enrich the platform experience. Mm. That was done in a very pragmatic way, like any good fintech startup story in Australia. Of course, there were highs and lows associated with that journey. And it really became, you know, a continuing of development until, 2020, late 2020, when we added the US equities functionality onto the platform as well. And then, of course, this teeny tiny thing called COVID came, which provided incredible tailwinds for Selfwealth. And bearing in mind that Selfwealth was the first to introduce flat fee brokerage in Australia, we really set the mold and continue to set the mold in terms of new innovations on the platform. And, you know, it really was a case of during those COVID months, the early months, you know, that the growth at Selfwealth was exponential as we welcomed more and more investors onto the platform. We were the only platform in Australia that stood up during the entire GameStop trading that happened in February that year as well. Right. So, you know, I think Selfwealth really established its credibility as not only being low cost, but truly robust and sustainable. So I joined in April 21. So it's been about 18 months now since I started the Selfwealth journey. And so, you know, when I started in April 21, you know, it was a case of looking at all the incredible assets that we already had, including our people, and really figuring out what the growth path was going to be based on what our investors were requesting of us.
So a few things here. How April 2021, this was like we were emerging from COVID, but it's still very much a thing, you know, there were lockdowns or people, you know, isolating and those types of things. And you're coming into this business that's just experienced huge growth. I guess there are two questions in this is, how did you come across the role, first of all, and then how did you assess the business and what you could do with it?
So after spending 20 years abroad, working for, you know, the largest multinationals in the world and having senior leadership positions there, what I really wanted was to find an Australian company, an Australian company that I could wrap my arms around to grow, to build, to set the standard. And so, you know, it was through a friend, as these things always are, recruit a friend. And look, she said to me, hey, there's this company and I think you'd be great at it. And so, you know, looking a little bit further, I, of course, got pretty excited pretty quickly, as I certainly learned about the market landscape. And so for me, it was a very easy decision to accept the role. And when I see, you know, the opportunities available, you know, not only did we already have a terrific user experience and a good team, but, you know, I saw very quickly how the market landscape was changing. With those COVID tailwinds, you know, with any tailwind that you get as a business, you can never take anything for granted. So it was really thinking about, okay, so, you know, what have we got today? You know, what do I think is going to happen in terms of the overall marketplace, not just with, you know, COVID was going to diminish at some time. More and more, you know, platforms were coming into the space. That's what happens when the addressable market doubles. And, you know, that's what did happen. Retail investors, they grew from 700,000 at the end of 2019 to, you know, figure around 1.4 million today. So that doubling happened over a very quick period of time, which brought in more competition. But it was really figuring out, you know, no business can just do the same again and again and again. It's about continuous adaption, continuous learning from what the clients need and looking at some of the macro factors that were happening within the investor landscape in Australia. So they really were the premise from which, you know, I set out Selfwealth's new strategy.
So there are quite a few things here. How, in terms of employees, how big was Selfwealth then, say just before you took over, and now, just to give us a sense of the scale and where you've taken it.
Sure. So in April 21, there were 25 mm-hmm. employees, right. all based in Surry Hills.
Yep.
In
outer East Melbourne.
Outer East Melbourne.
Yep.
We, you know, the office space only had desks for 19.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So, you know, Selfwealth is the classic fintech story, you know, starting from the garage and slowly upgrading. And yep. and so, you know, pretty quickly I realized that, you know, we needed to grow in terms of our team. So today we have over 60 people mm-hmm. in our Melbourne CBD offices.
Yep.
So again, an opportunity brought to us because of COVID in terms of being able to afford you know, cheaper rent on CBD buildings. And we've also now established teams in Malaysia and in India.
Oh, right. Okay.
As well. So, you know, we have over 15 people in those two locations. Yeah. So, you know, again, it's about building a sustainable business model where we can, you know, reduce our operating costs by having some of the functions overseas. Mm. But, you know, we really are a Melbourne-based company. We're very proud of our Melbourne status.
Mm. Yeah, I've seen the office. I love it. It's a new building, and there's a few other financial services organisations in the building. So as I was looking, you know, you see in the lobby, you see the list of names. I was like, oh, there's actually a lot of finance going on in this building. So you're in a good spot. So you know, a bit of growth. You've gone from 25 to, say, 60-odd.
Mm-hmm.
You've developed teams overseas. How did you set out, and this is where I'm really interested in, is how you set out team structures and design the organization for, like, the efficient outcomes? Because you're coming in during a period of rapid growth.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you've seen this from the outside before many times. How did you think about designing teams from the top down, horizontal? How do you think about that?
Yeah. And, you know, it having built many teams before and, you know, business units before, you do need to give careful consideration to, you know, firstly, transforming Selfwealth into an agile organization. And not just, you know, putting up a couple of posters that says, hey, we're agile.
Mm.
It really was about making sure that we had the right new skill sets in place. So, yeah. you know, around product ownership, whilst also making sure that we build out our technology function in the correct way.
Mm.
And, you know, one of Selfwealth's advantages is, you know, we have people who have been at Selfwealth in technology from day one.
Yeah.
And their experience and knowledge is just highly valuable. So we wanted to cultivate that. But of course, we needed to add new skill sets and new development skills, you know, into that technology function mm-hmm. as well. Mm. And so, you know, we had to put ourselves on our own learning. So it was Agile 101 and figuring out what Agile looked, felt like from a Selfwealth perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I also believe that, you know, especially in a fintech environment, people, you know, the value comes from collaboration. And so people need to feel part of something. They need to go into, I call it, their own tribe. People also need to continuously learn themselves. So it's about making sure that we've got those structures in place so that people with who are more junior in nature feel like they have someone to look to, someone to learn from.
Mm.
So from a product technology point of view, you know, we established communities around product owners, scrum masters, of course, our front-end, back-end development as well. And the area that I really wanted to build out was our data and analytics capability, which we've given focus to. The other really important development that we made is, you know, Selfwealth is very proud. We've been nominated a number of times in terms of having the best client service. And that is something that, you know, I wanted to continue. So, again, people investment into customer service so that, you know, our clients know that there is someone that is going to be there for them when they need it. And then, of course, marketing. You know, we went from a team of one, you know, to a team of five.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can really get carried away with marketing costs and
for sure.
Got to be very careful in terms of your return on investment. And so really making sure that, you know, we had, again, that right skill set in place for marketing.
Mm. Yeah, it seems like a lot, right? But you've been doing it for 18 months. Based on your vision, how far do you think you are through that journey?
Yeah, so I always like to think of transformation journeys in waves. And, you know, this is, the second wave for Self-Wealth. We're over halfway in the progression. So, look, we've done what I feel is the hard yards in terms of, you know, establishing the broader team, figuring out what works and, frankly, what doesn't work. And you continuously have to adapt. So look, now we've got those pieces in place. What we're looking forward to, is, you know, to be able to get the benefit from it.
For sure.
But look, continuously adapting and learning and looking to bring in, you know, some more talent into the organization as well.
Mm. So in terms of the landscape, because it seems very dynamic, at least it has been the last few years, like you said, more competition. Obviously the pioneers of fixed cost brokerage. And kudos to you, just moved into the third spot in Australia.
Thank you.
By market share, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct, yes.
How do you see that evolving over time? And then maybe we'll start to segue into where you're taking the business, like what is now versus in 5 years' time, say. Mm. So let's start with the market dynamics. How has that been characterized over the last few years, and how do you see the success in from Self-Wealth playing out?
Yeah, and look, thank you. We have very recently found out that we occupy the number three position.
Mm-hmm. Podium.
Yes. Yep. So two banks ahead of us. But for those who are very good at math, that will, of course, equate that we have taken over two of the big four banks.
Yep.
So again, that in itself is an achievement. I know there's a lot of fintechs out there whose, you know, business model is all about getting market share from the banks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously we want that to continue. We believe that we've got the experience and the client service ready to fully take on the banks.
Mm-hmm.
But look, the market landscape has changed a lot and will continue to change. It 5-6 years ago was about, you know, flat fee brokerage. You know, that truly was innovative and enough to be a differentiator. Now progressing forward, you know, addressable market has doubled. I obviously with the current state of the economy and inflation, et cetera, of course, the equities markets, that doubling of growth, I don't believe will happen again, you know, and it's slowing down. That's just a reality in terms of the number of retail investors currently in the Australian market. So I think with that, and of course, so many new entrants coming in specifically into the equities space and competing on nothing more than a price point, Self-Wealth decided over 12 months ago that our strategy is about wealth creation for retail investors. And that means, you know, listening to our clients and figuring out, well, what does wealth mean for retail investors? And it can mean different things to different people. So it's about figuring out, you know, what the asset type should be on the platform, what the experience should be, you know, cutting out some of the pain points, you know, around tax reporting, for example. And the real differentiator for us is our investment and our belief in providing independent thought leadership, content, education, providing a thorough set of information for our investors to utilize as they see fit.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that, you know, we do have a responsibility in terms of providing that independence so that, you know, those retail investors can feel confident, can learn. And frankly, I'd like to see, you know, that happen a lot more in Australia. Our motto is it is about creating financial freedom for people.
Mm. I think what you're getting towards as a platform is really interesting, which is building out a wealth platform, right? And it's kind of that next evolution. It's like an industry, I think, shuffling across into that and capturing more of that pie as well. How do you juxtapose Selfwealth today versus what it could be in 5 years? Like, what's the vision that you're working towards?
Yeah, so very much low cost, high value wealth creation for retail investors in Australia. You know, and that transitions it from what it was, which was, you know, a flat fee ASX equities platform. You know, it's that's a very singular focus. So one where, you know, where we're moving toward is it's a true community of retail investors, and people can choose their own communities, you know. So if they're interested, for example, in ESG, you know, being able to have a platform that caters for that sort of investment appetite. We will soon be bringing on crypto, but doing it in a very self-wealth way. So, you know, only providing 5 coins on the platform and making it as simple as possible. But again, having information, content available to people, outlining the risks and the volatility so that they can go in eyes wide open and be able to make the decisions that they need. And look, that's what we're going to do across multiple asset types on the platform.
Yeah, right. So it's going to be more holistic rather than just equities focus.
Correct. Yeah. Multiple asset types and you know, we'll continue to, you know, be a mechanism for people to make their own decisions and assessment on wealth.
How about the data? You've got over 125,000 investors on the platform now. You mentioned before that that's a focus for you. What would you love to be able to do with that data? Because I imagine there's heaps of it and more every day being created.
Yes.
What could you do with that? How could you use that?
And you're right. So one of Selfwealth's differentiators is we do have 5 years of trading data on our platform, and it's extensive and it's of a high quality, and it's something that we guard fiercely. You know, Selfwealth will not be selling our clients' data to anybody. But in terms of what we can do with it, it has to be to the benefit of our investors that are on the platform. And so, again, I refer back to communities. So, you know, we do have some functionality in terms of, you know, follow me, trading. For those who subscribe to it, they can see, you know, who the top investors are. They can look to see what they've invested in. They can move their portfolio to, you know, people who they deem to have similar investment appetites to them. And again, it just it's about building out more of a, I guess, unique experience to the investor. But, you know, they need to kind of tell us what they're looking for, or if they want it to be completely not related to their investment decisions, they can still go in and make those independent decisions themselves.
I know, because I host the Selfwealth Live on Wednesday nights. I get to see the data if you go. And I think more, I actually noticed this on Twitter, which is my preferred social media. I actually noticed that people are starting to pick up on that as well. They're starting to use the data to see what the community thinks and track that through time. It's really interesting.
Correct.
One question that I know one of our regular guests, fund manager Luke Winchester, who comes on the show, when he looks at companies, because you're listed on the stock exchange, people can dial in for the quarterlies and so on. One of the things that he always likes to think about is like the metrics that you follow as the CEO. What are the things that you look at every day to know that you're doing the right job? And then I guess for us as investors, looking at Selfwealth as an investment itself, how can we think about that as well?
Yeah, I'm a very data-oriented person. Indeed, I have been a self-described data nerd. So there's a variety of metrics that I use on a daily basis. You know, there's, of course, your bread and butter, you know, trade volumes, value on the platform, cash on the platform, et cetera, et cetera. But the metrics that I take great interest in are more oriented to our client base. So for me, actively looking at the engagement on the platform, which means not necessarily the number of people who have traded during the day, but those people, how many people have jumped onto the platform to check their portfolios, to check to see what's happening in the market, looking at content and education, that materials that we provide, and, you know, the engagement on that. For me, I find that, you know, A, exciting, but B, you know, really tells a story in terms of engagement that needs to be highly valued. I do also look at, we've implemented a system to help support our client service function. We look at the satisfaction rates from each of the chats and et cetera. So I monitor that on a daily basis. The intel that gives, you know, it's not so much about is the client service team doing a good job, because I think they do a great job in the trenches, but it's about feedback on the platform.
Of course.
And particularly after we've put in a change and we're, you know, always putting in updates to our production environment, it's just a really good pulse. And look, no business can exist unless you are listening to your customer base.
For sure. I know, and we're fortunate from the outside because we get to see what the company is doing each quarter. How has it changed for you being a listed company CEO?
Yes. So I've always worked for publicly listed companies. However, you know, now in the CEO chair, look, for me, I've always valued transparency and governance, you know, and I think, again, it's a differentiator of Self-Wealth compared to some of the new challenger platforms who are not listed. You know, for me, I want people to be aware of, you know, our financial stability, where we're making investments. I love the idea of Self-Wealth being a bit of a co-op in terms of, you know, people investing in the ASX, but, you know, hopefully investing into us as shareholders. So, you know, whilst of course there is paperwork and reporting and deadlines and a whole raft of rules that, you know, I needed to learn pretty quickly around the ASX specifically, for me, it is an advantage that Self-Wealth is listed. And, you know, I think to that point, you know, I would make the point around some of the newer challenger brands, right? And, you know, I like being able to stand up and say, look, we have a sustainable business model here, right? There's a reason why we haven't played the race to the bottom. You know, we want Self-Wealth to be here for decades, not days. And playing that race to the bottom in terms of zero brokerage or very, very low-cost brokerage, it just doesn't work in the Australian market, the way in which, you know, the costs are set up from ASX, ASIC, a whole host of costs. So, you know, that's not a game that we're willing to play because we don't want to jeopardise our clients' holdings and cash, et cetera. We're here for decades.
Yeah, I think that's a thing that, like, there's a cost, right? There's a, unlike, say, the United States, here in Australia, we have one exchange, one primary exchange, which has, you know, hefty fees as well. You look at the ASX itself, you look at their company reports, you can see the fees flowing to them. So, I certainly understand that. One final question, Kath, which is a little bit off the beaten track, which is just how do you spend a typical day then? Like, we talked then about, you know, looking at like engagement and, you know, just the standard metrics, the financial metrics. What does a typical day look like?
Yeah, I try and spend 50-50 time between 50% internally, you know, working with the team leaders, you know, investing into them, making sure that, you know, things are on track or et cetera. The other 50% of my time, it is more externally focused. There's a lot of, you know, exciting technologies and fintechs that are out there and not just in Australia but abroad, and really thinking about potential applicability to a Self-Wealth experience, and also meeting new people, learning from them. There's every person you meet, there's something to learn. And so I think that combination gives a rounded view as a CEO.
Yeah, I like that. There's always something to learn. Shows the growth mindset.
Definitely.
Well, Kath, thanks for taking some time to join me today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. Before you go, I wanted to share some things with you. Specifically, I wanted to tell you about the 10 ways that RASK could help you in 2024. As many of you know, Rask has grown to become one of the biggest investing and finance platforms in Australia. Across our podcasts, our websites, our memberships, and so on, we now engage around 200,000 Aussies, which, considering we started in a humble lounge room on a Kmart desk, one of those old fake white wooden ones, I'm pretty ecstatic about where we are 6 years later. As part of becoming one of Australia's biggest platforms for wealth creation and preservation, we now have a very special position in the country in that we can bring you some of the best, most thoughtful, expert-driven ways to protect and grow your wealth. And I'm going to share some of those with you now. I've got 10 ways that we can potentially help you or match you with someone who can. The first thing that I want to tell you about is the biggest step we've ever taken at Rask, which is the launch of our Rask Invest platform. This is a platform that lets our team, led by me, invest for you, primarily through low-cost, diversified ETFs. We'll have three strategies at launch, and every investor who comes through can pick one of the three strategies, being a balanced strategy, a growth strategy, and a high-growth strategy. The balanced strategy focuses on passive income, and the high-growth strategy focuses on longer-term compounding. You will find a link in your podcast player to register your interest. We will be taking off soon. Number two, if you prefer to DIY your investing, you can join me and over 4,000 members inside Rask Core. That's our full ETF and ASX share research membership community. You can join now and you'll get updated ETF portfolio recommendations every quarter, as well as ongoing ASX and global stock research. Every single month, we call them the All-Star Stocks. You get that alongside the ETF portfolios, as well as other members-only content. It's called Rask Core. Number three, our first ever partnership with a business other than our own was a business by the name of Blusk, which has since become Flint Group. Flint Group is led by Chris Bates and Christian Stevens, two of Australia's most highly regarded mortgage brokers. Already over 200 Rask community members have begun the Rask plus Flint Group mortgage broking process. You can click the link in your podcast player if you're refinancing, investing, a first home buyer, or whatever. You've probably heard Chris on the show many times. Number four, you can connect with our most trusted financial advisors. Whether you're 25 years old, just graduated uni, and looking to set yourself up, or approaching or in retirement and you've got that nest egg you want to protect and generate a passive income from, you can get in contact with our trusted panel of financial advisors. You can find the link in your podcast player. It's there each and every week. Just click the thing that says financial planning. Number five, if you want specialist insurance advice, as Warren Buffett said, rule number one is don't lose money. And rule number two is don't forget rule number one. Insurance is vitally important, especially when it comes to your number one asset, you. Whether you're a single income household or a couple, and you just want to protect what would happen if, you want to protect your family if something goes wrong, you want to protect your spouse if you lose your job, you want to protect yourself if you hurt yourself on the weekend at footy, insurance is a way to do that. And I think the best way to do insurance is through a financial planner. And there's a few reasons for that, but one of them is sometimes some insurers will only work with financial advisors, but they can also be your companion as you go through the sometimes daunting process of getting insurance done properly. Sometimes you might not even know, but you're not even covered, even though you think you are. So get the right advice. You'll find a link in the show notes to check that out. Number six, buying property. If you're like me and you're thinking of buying property in the next 12 months, or maybe you've already invested and you're looking to downsize, getting the right advice and being able to build wealth through property is a proven strategy. It might be one of the most contentious, but I think that we have one of Australia's best property coaches in our ranks. That is Pete Wargent. Pete is the host of the now super popular Australian Property Podcast by Rask, and he's also my analyst team's macro consultant. So if you're a member of Rask Core, you will have seen Pete's name around the traps. He's a property coach and buyer's agent, and he works with a select number of people each and every year. Just a note on this is not a commercial thing with Pete. Pete just has great services, so we offer them to the community. And when he fills up, he fills up. You can find out more about Pete's coaching in the show notes. Next up, tracking your portfolio for tax? I think you are, because I think you have to. So we've partnered with Nevexa to help you manage your share and ETF reporting, whether it's tax or performance. All RASC users get 20% off an annual plan with Nevexa. You can sync your portfolio with Nevexa's software, and it automatically tracks your dividends, your capital gains tax, and more. Again, not a commercial partnership. We don't make anything from working with Nevexa, but they do create some great tools which the RASC community uses each and every day. Number 8, want to run your own business? Maybe you already do. If you want more profit, but less stress, less time consumed, and less energy lost, get in contact. We have a partner business called Inflection. The Inflection Accelerator Program is a complete online course that helps you and a community of members engage and follow a proven strategy for growing your business. I'm grateful to be one of the coaches inside the Accelerator program, helping business owners right across Australia. You can find more following the link in your podcast player. It's the one that says coaching. Number 9, if you haven't already checked it out, join over 20,000 other people who tune into the RASC YouTube channel. It is completely free and you get notified when we go live and when we publish podcast episodes. There is a podcast on the RASC network each and every day, as well as bite-sized material that's less than 60 seconds, or those really punchy tutorials and webinars that are just 15 minutes that take you through a really exciting topic, whether it's how to buy a property, whether it's how to pick a dividend ETF. Some of our most popular content actually just explains things like, what the heck is franking credits and how do I calculate if I've got some? That's on our YouTube channel. Number 10, if you want to be a better investor, a saver, a better partner with money, or just understand your own relationship with money, you can do that. All of that by going to the RASC Education website and taking a free course. We've enrolled over 26,000 students at the time of this recording, and we are on a mission to get to 100,000 in the next few years. RASC Education is our mostly free education platform, covering everything from budgeting and automation to the probably, I would say, the best value investing program in the country. So whether you're a value investor, an intermediate investor, you want to know how to value Woolworths shares, or you simply just want to understand what ethical investing is, or buy your first property and what actually happens on settlement day, head to the RASC Education website and enroll in something today. It is free and it supports us, because then I can come on here next month and I can say we've got 27,000, and hopefully we reach critical mass where we can help more Australians manage their money better. Thank you for listening to this long-winded ad. If you want to get in contact with me, you know where to go. There's a link in your show notes. Basically, these 10 services, even though some of them we don't make any money from, support RASC and allow us to produce these podcasts, attract the biggest and best guests from Australia and around the world, and bring them to you to answer your questions. Thank you for being part of the RASC network, and thank you for your ongoing support. Bye for now.